Grab a beverage, settle in. When you're ready, we'll begin. Joe and Pat and Michael, too, are gonna talk comic books with you.
Welcome to the Casual Comics Cast, where a couple of comic rookies, Michael and Pat, try to comprehend the world of comic books and comic-related pop culture with the help of Joe, who's just a casual comics guy.
Well, let's jump in. Welcome back, everybody, to the Casual Comics Cast. It's me, Joe, back with you with Michael today and our good friend Mark. Say hi, guys.
Hello.
Thanks for coming back. We didn't scare you off?
Yay. That's awesome. No, you didn't.
Nice.
Glad to be back.
Well, we are here today to talk about the X-Men. I don't even know why I thought X-Men as a topic. New Mutants movie just came out. Have you seen New Mutants yet, Mark?
I am avoiding theater still, Joe, but I do want to see it.
Nice. And Michael, have you seen the trailer for New Mutants? You did?
No, sir. And I did not know it was a thing. So
the New Mutants were a spinoff of the X-Men. It was after they all graduated. They're like, let's get some new mutants in here.
So they're like new, cool mutants with different powers? Or is this like kid version of the Flash and that kind of thing?
That would be...
That's a good question.
Cool.
It'd be actually... I like the second option better.
I know. I like
younger version.
Like Muppet Babies, but with Cyclops.
That's right.
Oh, Muppet Babies.
it's Marvel's version of Teen Titans. I don't know if that helps.
They were just a younger class that came in. They had all different powers.
Yeah.
Like Cannonball was one of the dudes. He's the only one I remember. And then the weird guy who is like was illustrated super freaky because he's like part android or something. Do you know the guy I'm talking about?
Yeah.
God, he looked like a big blob with circuitry in him.
Yes. I don't remember his name for the life of me. But yeah, I remember him. Yep. And then was it Nitro? Was that another guy? Am I thinking of that right?
Was that an American Gladiator?
Yeah,
I get American Gladiators confused with mutants.
It's easy to do because they all have cool code names. They're all bulked out
and they're all roided out. Yeah,
that's right. That's right.
We should do that as a quiz sometime. We'll get Tim Hall back on, and we'll be like, "Is this an American Gladiator or an X-Man?"
Oh, that's a great one.
You figure it out.
That's right.
So what we did today is we just, look back. And the other thing was, I think last week was trending on Twitter. It was top five X-Men. So we said, let's read a couple of X-Men comics. Let's talk about who our top five X-Men are. And then, Michael, you've only really seen the movies, and now you've read a couple comics. And you sound like you actually prepared with some X-Men questions this week.
So I have some X-Men questions, yes.
I'm excited to get into it. We started with a classic I had never read before, Giant Size X-Men number one. Had you read that before, Mark?
You know what? As I was about halfway through, I had to text my brother. I'm the Spider-Man nerd, and he's the X-Men nerd. Mm-hmm. So he said he had the comic, but doesn't remember me actually reading it or him letting me borrow it to read it when we were younger. So I would say no, I haven't. That's a long answer to your question, but no, I have not read it.
It's one that's got an iconic cover. They reproduce mm-hmm. in posters and stuff all the time. It's like, because this was the introduction of a whole new X-Men team, and they're like busting out of the cover. I'm trying to, as we're talking, look up. I did not do my homework and look up who wrote and illustrated it. And I don't want to fake it.
I think. So I want to ask a quick question while you're looking that up.
Go ahead.
So Giant Size X-Men, in my mind, I thought, oh, it's going to be like the regular X-Men, but they're going to be huge size. Why is it called Giant Size X-Men?
I think it's just twice the size of a normal comic in terms of length.
Mm.
Yes, I believe so. On the cover, it says like a big 64 pages of X-Men action.
Yeah. So they use terms like double-sized issue, giant-sized issue.
So it's a description of the issue, not of the characters.
I was
sorely disappointed to find out.
Yep. So. Right. I think they switched to double issue. They probably got some customer feedback and realized they need to say double sized issue.
Yeah, people who are very literal, like me, thought
they
were going to be humongous X.
That would be cool. They should do that with the baby X-Men, too.
Giant baby sized X-Men.
Big fat baby X-Men.
Honey, I shrunk the X-Men. I'm looking at it now. This book is actually older than I thought it was. It was published in May 1975, and it was written by Len Wein and illustrated by Dave Cockrum. So a couple classic names in X-Men history, and it's the introduction of the new team. the story. Michael, you want to recap a little bit of the story? You're the novice in it.
Yeah.
What did you get out of it right away? Like, give us a quick synopsis.
Well, so the story starts off and Professor X is gathering all of these new X-Men from all over the world. So you go to all these different exotic places and across the globe, including the Grand Ole Opry, which was strange. we'll talk about that later. And he's soliciting these folks to come in and saying, like, you know, you have a duty as a mutant to do something great. And then he brings them back to the home base, which is, I don't know what the home base is.
Xavier's School for Gifted Mutants, right?
That one.
Is it Gifted Youngsters? Gifted Youngsters.
Gifted Youngsters, yeah.
And they get back there and he sort of unveils the mission. So Scott, what's his name? Storm, what was the guy's name?
Cyclops.
Scott Summers. Scott Summers, aka Cyclops.
The one guy calls him like One Eye the whole.
I had that in my notes. I was like, they gotta stop calling him One Eye. Like, I can't get that out of my head. But it was 1975, different time.
Yeah, definitely a different time.
It was obvious that they were trying to make it a weirdly, but like this really diverse cast. Like, you see, they were from all across the globe. They had somebody from Japan, Aurora from Africa. They had Apache, who I wasn't super happy reading the characterization of the time. It's a book of its time.
I was going to say, it would not have been made today, we'll just say. I wrote down on my notes, sort of racist.
Well, when they give him the name...
I don't think sort of belongs there.
it seemed like, yeah. I was a little sensitive to it because they named him Thunderbird. I'm like, they may as well just named him Firewater at that point. Don't name the Native American hero Thunderbird.
No.
Yeah, that was not that great.
But so the idea is that all of these sort of new cast of X-Men are being brought to the home base and their mission is unveiled. Cyclops comes out and he's like, listen, the old guard X-Men and I, we went to get this new mutant that we discovered because of their machine Cerebro. We went to go get this new Magneto. This new mutant, and next thing I know, I was basically blacked out, and I was on our jet headed back home, and all the other X-Men are still on this island where we went to go get this new mutant, and we need your help. Come help us rescue the old guard X-Men.
Yep,
that's the basic idea.
That's a great synopsis. I like that.
Yeah, so it was an interesting. Well done. It was an interesting mission. It seemed like it was like maybe they wanted to introduce a bunch of new characters all at once, and here's a pretty cool way to do it. All the other X-Men are captured. New team, gotta go get them. So the new team, I'm gonna try and do it from memory, and guys chime in.
I can help.
Wolverine that they recruited. It wasn't Wolverine's first appearance, but it was like because he had been in that Hulk comic before, but. They're like, hey, you know, you fought the Hulk. Now, by the way, you're a mutant. You didn't know you're a mutant. You are. That happened to a couple people. You got Aurora, Storm. You're not actually a weather goddess. You're a mutant. Banshee, not my favorite. Irish the dude.
Banshee is the weirdest character. He was like Gilderoy Lockhart, like Kenneth Branagh from Harry Potter. Is all I could think about when I was reading this.
Yeah, I can see that. And anybody talk like Darby O'Gill like from Darby O'Gill and the Little
Beautiful
People.
Hair.
You had Thunderbird, the aforementioned Apache guy.
John Proudstar.
Sunfire? Is that guy's name?
Yep.
I'm trying to own Nightcrawler.
Mm-hmm.
Who am I missing?
You're missing someone you hate.
Oh, Cyclops? No. He's all
there.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you hated Colossus.
Oh, Colossus. No, I love Colossus.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay, so you got Colossus. And so it is. It's sort of around the globe, X-Men, they bring them all together, and they got to go rescue this crew. And if you think about it, that was a real hit-or-miss bunch, because about a good chunk of those became like legendary X-Men and were around forever. Mm-hmm. Nightcrawler, mm-hmm. Colossus, Wolverine, and then Sunfire.
Costume was so bizarre. He looked like a moth face. He had like a brilliant red, like butterfly mask on his face.
He looked like
like the guy from Watchmen too, like a weird version of the guy from Watchmen.
Which one?
What is that? The not the guy, but the ship, the owl ship.
Oh, Night Owl.
Yeah, Night Owl. Thank you. Thank you, Night Owl. Yeah.
He looked kind of like when you see those videos of like Japanese wrestling. Like those guys wear the goggle things and they it's like world wrestling, but the Japanese version. It seemed like but maybe he inspired those costumes because this was from 75. And it's the first time I remember hearing Genosha, too. Genosha's a big deal in X-Men comics, which is, I think, right now in the X-Men comics where they're all living. All of the mutants have gone to live on Genosha.
Not Genosha, Krakoa.
Krakoa. Is that where they are now?
Krakoa, yes.
Krakoa, yeah. East of Java?
That's the island.
Yeah. Okay. Genosha, what's that? Why does that sound familiar?
Genosha is the one that Magneto built.
Yes, that's why it sounds familiar. Yes.
I'm getting
the other island. You're getting your islands mixed up.
You get it all mixed up. So which of these
Planet Ego.
Which of these characters, based on this comic, would you say was probably like the most competent out of all these people?
I think Storm was by far the coolest.
I was a little shocked by Storm's first appearance of like topless for like the first couple pages.
But it was the illustration on Storm was incredible. I actually thought it was really, really cool. I can see why they kept her as like a main character because she rules. She was awesome. Yeah,
very majestic.
Yep. Spoiler alert for my top five X-Men when we talk about later. But what I really liked about it, and Michael, you touched on it, it really expanded my world growing up as a kid because, you know, being in the Midwest and not knowing anything about anything. What I do remember, even though I didn't read that comic as a kid, but I read X-Men as a kid, is they did go back to Canada, which, again, not worldly, but they went back to Africa. They went back to Russia. Like, they went to all these countries, and it really widened my worldview, which that's what I really liked about the X-Men.
Very cool.
Yeah, you know, all these different countries, and you're like, oh, I didn't even think – I mean, Americans typically stink at geography. But
yes,
realizing that there's actual people that can work together from different countries, not to get too social about that. But that was what I really did like about X-Men. It's a really wonderful thing.
I think that's why a lot of people love X-Men and it continues to be popular is it was always, and when we tease about some of the characters seeming a little dated, but they were very forward thinking in that like the whole mutant thing was a metaphor for the civil rights movement and was a metaphor for a class of people that were looked down on and were treated as not equal. And they were just always trying to like half of their fight is just to be respected as people.
Mm-hmm.
It was very much out of the civil rights era. And then Mark, you probably remember it became as part of the 80s movement with AIDS and things like that and becoming accepted of gay culture. There was it was a seminal graphic novel called God Loves, Man Kills. It was very apparent that they were using the X-Men as a metaphor for being accepting of people with different sexualities. And I think that's why this comic has stuck around for a long time.
Yeah, I agree. And you're right. The whole, you know, racial undertones as a 13-year-old kid reading it, I didn't really realize it, but becoming more tolerant of the fact that, you know, oh, Joe, you're a mutant. I'm supposed to hate you. And it's like, but I don't even look any different sometimes. It was just this whole concept in my head of why would somebody hate somebody just because they have the mutant gene when they look normal? And you think of it, that's the whole basis of racism is ignorance. And they really played it out in the comics. And as you got older, you realized, oh, well, that's probably what I like about it is they were really teaching some good lessons here with some cool characters.
And Michael, that ties into your love of Magneto. Right. When you dive into that character, he's not black and white, good, evil guy. He's like,
right.
He just has it's there was a parallel of, you know, Professor X being the Martin Luther King and Magneto being the Malcolm X. You know, we got to take it to the streets and we got to take matters into our own hands. If they're going to fight us, we're going to fight them back. We're going to,
right.
You know, that's probably not a perfect parallel, but it was just much more of he was like, of course I want to live in peace, but the only way to live in peace is to dominate them because they're not going to let us live in peace any other way.
Sure.
Having experienced that as a child himself in Nazi Germany.
Yep. Which is still one of my favorite kind of opening sequences in a lot of the comic movies is that first X-Men movie of a young Eric Lenscher in Poland. I don't know if you remember that scene where they're pulling him away from his parents and he's using his powers early on and then they knock him out. But it's the whole, you know, concentration camp thing. It really, I thought, was a great opener and really was, you know, a not so it was a very deliberate parallel to, hey, we're going to be talking about this. This is the whole theme of these X-Men movies. And I really liked how they did that right out of the gate with that first movie.
Yeah, that's awesome. Out of these new characters, I think you could tell pretty much Wolverine was going to be a star right from the get-go. He's pretty cool. And you could kind of tell Banshee wasn't going to be anything ever.
What? That hair? I was sure he was going to make
it. Yeah, flowing
locks. Well, but you know what? Who I think is sort of a sneaker, though, is Nightcrawler, because he opens the comic, right? He's the first guy you meet. But I don't think you ever understand what his powers are at any point in time during this comic. Like, I left thinking, I do not know what Nightcrawler does or why he's cool. He just looks different.
He could jump really high and fight really good.
I didn't even get that.
He jumped up and stuck to the wall at one point. Like, he's stuck onto a wall.
They were not clear.
It was. You're right. It's very unclear from this.
But he sticks around, so he's got something.
What did you think of in Cyclops being the legacy? I found his leadership skills to be a little lacking.
A little bit, yeah.
You tell me. I've been accused of having an axe to grind with Cyclops. Cyclops, good leader, not good leader. This issue.
I was feeling particularly salty when you asked me to put together my top five. I actually started with the bottom five, and he's on it. Unpopular opinion. I don't know why. I love the X-Men. I just think he's a terrible leader. Like, I don't understand it. It's just a personal thing, but apparently not, Joe, because you agree.
He's cool looking, and he has a cool power, but he's like a crybaby half the time.
Yes!
And, like, in this issue, he's like, okay, we're here to find this most powerful mutant. Oops, I left the mini cerebro on the plane. Oh, the plane's gone. Like, you left the most important piece of equipment on the plane by accident.
And then he can see normally.
Get your act together.
Yeah, and then he can see normally. And then Professor X, like, Scott, your eyes. He's like, what are you talking about? Can't you tell you're about to explode?
And his brilliant scheme is, I divide the team up into four groups. East, west, whatever. He had like some east, some west, some here and there.
Everyone go a different direction.
And 10 minutes later, they're all in the same place. They all went and had a little fight and then showed up at the same place together.
Wait a minute, Joe. My second favorite part of the whole comic, it's 14 minutes later. It specifically says in the comic.
That was so odd.
14 minutes later. I'm like, why 14? I'm like racking my brain here.
Very specific.
It was because Scott gave them specific instructions. We rendezvous in 14 minutes. Everyone synchronize your watches.
So, well, I want to ask, though, of the people that this new X-Men crew went to go rescue, actually, I didn't know any of the supposed, like, legacy X-Men.
Classic X-Men.
Like, none of those characters I knew.
Can you go from memory, Mark, the original X-Men?
Yeah, well, no, but they have the original, the OG X-Men, Michael. And I think that was the point of, if you're a fan of them and they're not in the comic until the very end, you're rooting for this team to go save your favorite, whether it's Havoc, whether it's Angel, whether it's one of the original. I think that was the whole pull of, hey, I like the original X-Men. These guys are interesting too. Now we have, because the very end of the thing, it says, now we have 13 X-Men. What are we going to do?
And so you do start publishing two books a month.
What I really need to know is, who's this Lorna Doone? Because that's a cookie, I'm pretty sure. But there's a Lorna Doone. Is that her name?
I don't know anything hardly about her.
And I honestly can't recall her at all. So maybe she got replaced by Moira MacTaggert. But I don't get it. Like, I was reading that and I reread it and I'm like, I don't remember her at all. And then I didn't do a wiki Marvel lookup on her either. But I think she just got lost in the ether with some of these other characters.
The context clues, she's Havoc's girlfriend, and Havoc is Cyclops' brother.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all these romantic things going on too. And in this, is Jean Grey dead?
This is why I'm confused. No, I think Jean Grey is in. They're talking about Jean Grey, and it sounds like she is one of those characters.
She is.
Yeah,
that's
she
right.
was
Marvel
one of
Girl.
The ones that they.
Is she Marvel
yeah.
Girl?
Yes.
Yep. Yep.
Ah, that makes sense. Okay, I didn't know that. I was like, which one of these people can she be? And that was what I deduced. Okay, Jean Grey is Marvel Girl.
Here's a pro tip. If you're going to read an X-Men book, first question you ask is, when this book starts, who's dead and who's alive? Because it won't be the same answer. when you get to the end of the
That's
book.
That's right.
And so it's always, and it's Jean's always one. Is Jean around or is she dead? Is she alive? Dead.
Did she? Yeah. Is she Phoenix? Is she Dark Phoenix? Is she Jean Grey? Is she Jean? Like, who is she?
Marvel Girl.
Like, it depends on the genre that you're in or that the time period.
Yep. So she's in the book. Yep. So they got it. Any other thoughts on this book, Mike? I thought it was really like cool way to go see how these characters that, like I said, a lot of them have stuck around for a long time. Like their real first action together is a team of like, well, team. They're like all split up for most of the comic. It's like, Wolverine, go fight some crabs.
I did like the giant crabs.
Yep, that was good. See, there was giant Michael something, giant crabs.
There was something giant, and it was crabs.
X-Men.
Sounds terrifying.
I did like one of the things, you know, when you read it again and you kind of have a memory of these characters, they had a nice little nod in the comic about who made these new X-Men's costumes. I don't know if you saw that.
Reed
Richards.
Unstable molecules again.
Yes.
Gosh, darn it.
That was one of the first questions. Sorry, Rick. That was one of the first questions that Michael and Pat asked me on one of our first podcasts is, how do these costumes not get ripped up? And so I'm like, it's always unstable molecules. The answer is
always. Yes. That's how you should answer anything in business, too. It's like, how did you get that app to work?
Stable molecules.
Unstable molecules. That's how it is.
Don't ask me how it works in science.
That's right. But I love the nod because it made me think about Joe and Michael. Professor X is on one side of the coin and Reed Richards is on the other side of the coin. Mm-hmm. And I just think, you know, the parallels are really interesting. All the way back then, they kind of had that. And I don't know if they realized it or not back in 75, but it's interesting about how they both approach their respective races, if you think of it that way, and how they always are doing, both of them are doing what they think is right, pretty much, you know, damn the cost, like no matter what.
Yep.
And it always it rarely works out well for either one of them, I guess is my point through the years.
Right.
But it's interesting, like one's a mutant and the leader of their group, you know, one's a leader of his group and they're super smart. But I just thought that was interesting all the way back then. That was a neat little like shout out to Reed Richards.
I thought that was pretty cool, and then because I remember I always love the scene where superheroes like get their costume, and maybe it's just me coming at it from a weird angle because I was in a weird mood today. I was like, he's handing out the costume, and he's like, "I had these made for you. Hey, Storm, here's what I had made for you. This little
here,
tiny thing."
Chaps.
That's right.
I was thinking hard about you when I designed this.
Here, Colossus, have this sleeveless tank top.
These little tight underwear.
Have these tight swimming trunks, Colossus. That's pretty funny.
What else?
How did he know everybody's waist size too? Like that's really good. Oh, unstable molecules. That's why.
Lululemon needs to get their hands on some unstable molecules.
It's like putting seamstresses out of business all over the place.
Yes, that's right.
There's no pockets. Professor X didn't give me any pockets. Where am I supposed to put the keys to the jet?
That's why he forgot Cerebro. He didn't have a pocket to put him in.
That's why everybody hates the X-Men. They dine and dash all the time. Oh, my wallet. What else, Michael? You think you got some scholarly notes there on the book.
Yeah, you got some questions?
No, I didn't. No. I did like the villain, the main villain in this episode issue.
That was really crazy.
The main Krakoan?
The entire island.
The entire island.
Yeah. I liked that. I thought they did a good job of like making it an entity that was kind of scary.
It's like when you squeeze soap in your hands.
Yeah, that was so bizarre. Out. They're like, yeah, when you squeeze... That was very strange, but that was the only other thing really that I commented on. Was just that I liked that the villain was the island itself, and they kind of humanized the island when it manifested. So
that was cool.
And it's another point of, you know, I don't know if this is like an environmental thing or a social thing, but how he was formed was nuclear testing.
Yes.
So you got that whole thing going on of, well, how were you formed? Well, there was this nuclear test and we all mutated and we're going to kill everybody. It's like, oh, well, maybe we shouldn't shoot nukes at islands then. Maybe that's that's kind of the message I got out of that.
Leave Mother Earth alone. Yes.
That's right. Listening.
It's an environmental message, too. So let's fast forward several decades to 1995 with the publication of The Astonishing X-Men, written by our good pal Joss Whedon from Avengers fame, and art by John Cassaday. This is this features a different lineup of X-Men. In this book, you've got Wolverine, again, Cyclops back. Emma Frost and Cyclops are leading the team. And Emma Frost, Michael, is a legacy bad guy.
We got to talk about her because I don't know anything about her. I thought she was illustrated in a really, really cool way. But obviously, as you're reading it, you pick up that she's not always been a good guy. But I don't quite understand the backstory on why she's bad and then good.
And then to reorient, when this book starts, Colossus is dead. Jean Grey's dead. They're dead.
Yes. They're both dead.
You got Beast and somebody who was on
Kitty.
Kitty Pryde.
Kitty Pryde, yeah.
And her trusty sidekick.
Lockheed the Dragon.
Everyone's favorite, Lockheed the Dragon.
Michael, you remember him from Secret Wars.
Yes, I do.
Even though Kitty was not in Secret Wars and Colossus was crying all the time that he's like wanting to make out with Zashi and then crying about it later that he feels guilty.
And what I will say is Colossus in Secret Wars was very annoying to me. I did not like him at all. And he redeemed himself in this comic book. So I have a newfound love. And partly it might be how he was illustrated, because he's quite the stud. Quite the stud.
Right. Mark, you want to talk about the Hellfire Club and Emma Frost?
Yeah, I mean, I that's what I like about her. And the whole idea of the Hellfire Club is basically, like Joe was saying, it's somewhere in between what Professor X is doing, but not as bad as what Magneto is doing. So it's, hey, we're this going to be this group of mutants that are going to kind of do things our way, our rules. And, as it implies, it's a small club and they ask you to become a part of it. And I can't remember, Joe, who was the, before Emma was like led it, who was the leader of it? And I'm drawing a blank.
She was like the White Queen.
Yeah, the White Queen. Yeah, yeah,
there was,
yeah.
There was
but
a
I can't...
guy who was, and it was like, he was like the Black, I think.
Yeah,
and it was almost like chess pieces like that.
Yeah, well, that was the whole theme there.
Right,
was chess pieces and stuff. But I always liked the mysterious nature of it. Of whenever there was some deep plot that the X-Men would uncover, it was the Hellfire Club behind it.
Right,
I knew it. Let's go confront them. But then it got all like official. Like, well, let's knock on the door, and it's this extravagant, ornate room, and they're smoking cigars, and let's have a discussion about it. It's like, right. What? But I like the Hellfire Club, and yeah, Emma Frost is great.
It's like if Magneto wanted to go to war with humans, the Hellfire Club wanted to subvert everything, like in like an Illuminati type fashion. They're going to take over the world covertly behind this. And every time the X-Men got wind of it, the X-Men tried to shut them down, but they were more sneaky and sly, and they did a lot of really naughty things, like we talk about in this book. But Emma, I don't know what Emma's why she decided to switch. I don't know whether it was she felt. I mean, in this one,
because she wanted to hook up with Scott Summers,
and that's the main reason she got it. He's got the Kavorka.
Kavorka. Now you threw me off with the Seinfeld there.
Sorry. He wears that jacket.
Well, I mean,
why are all these women fighting over Scott Summers all the time? The guy's kind of a winner.
That's what I'm saying. That's my point. He's got the Kavorka. I don't get it.
Because
he's one eye.
Jeez, Louise.
They're together.
I'm throwing Joe off now. Sorry, Joe. Throw it after your game.
Yeah. I'm getting a little sweaty over here.
Thinking of
Scott Summers now, shirtless. To me, the Kavorka. I'm starting to see what she sees in him. Emma, though, she's not. I'm going to say she's not super powerful psychic. She's not like a Professor X level or Jean Grey level psychic. But she's psychic. She can't control people's. She can control people, like with her psychic power, she can make them do things. Like Kitty suspects that she's controlling Cyclops somehow. She can also, I don't know if it was apparent in the comic, she can turn her body into like diamond, like living diamond. So like when people are shooting at her, it just bounces off because she's just hard as a diamond.
Mm-hmm. Well, her last name was Frost, so I thought maybe that was supposed to be ice.
It's confusing, definitely, because of her name. I agree.
Okay.
And it took me like 5 comics to see her to be like, oh, it's a diamond substance. But then why is she called Emma Frost?
Yeah, I thought it was ice.
Turned into ice when they have an Iceman already.
And I was like, I'm like, she certainly doesn't dress like it's cold outside.
Okay, well, so that was such a weird part of this comic, is that she's like, hey, everybody, we're about to be the professors at this school. Everybody get your uniforms on. And then everyone is wearing a uniform. Like, the Beast has, like, a onesie that goes up to his chest. And everyone's wearing something. And she's still wearing, like, a white pair of bell-bottom pants with her butt crack sticking out and, like, a bra top. She's basically half naked, but she's the only one who didn't have to wear a uniform.
Every time you see her, she's always dressed in all white. And I don't know if whether, I don't know why, I don't know. Maybe it's Scott made the uniform. She's like, oh, I like her dressed that way.
Yeah, maybe that's just the artist's depiction of if she's the white queen, she always has to wear white. I don't know.
I like that she had the white lipstick. I don't remember that being classic.
I don't either. It was good luck.
So that's her powers. Beast seems like he's devolving in some way. He mentions it, that he's in a second phase of his de-evolution, where he's like more animal-like than normal. So when Beast first started, he didn't even have any fur. He was just a dude who could do really cool acrobatics. Then something changed about his mutation that gave him the blue fur and made him more cat-like. And then
that was my question. Is he a cat? I wrote blue cat guy before I figured out his name was Beast. And I wasn't sure if he was a cat or if he was a amalgamation of different animals.
He's just
amalgamation, I think, is a more correct one, but because a beast. It's just like, let's take the best of a monkey and a bear and let's just call him a beast. I think that's because he didn't have a tail, but he had monkey-like agility, but then he had bear-like strength. So I just think they, like you said, I think you said it well, it's just an amalgamation of several animals.
Different cool animals.
But he's also, he's like super genius level when it comes to chemistry stuff. So he's working on the serum in the plot of this. But he references that something's changed about his mutation where he's getting more animal-like and is worried that he's going to lose his mentality. So plot of this book, roughly, there's a couple things going on. There's some shady characters behind the scenes that are planning some terrorist attacks. But this what's the woman's name? She invents a cure for mutants.
Dr. Rao.
She believes that she has found a cure, and then there's just Ord the Worldbreaker, who is the villain, and he's got something going on. S.H.I.E.L.D. shows up for a while. Nick Fury, not happy. And then S.W.O.R.D. shows up. S.W.O.R.D. and S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yep.
Okay, I didn't know what S.W.O.R.D. was. I don't think they actually talked about S.W.O.R.D. There was somebody from, like, the extraterrestrial division of like, something that's similar to S.H.I.E.L.D., but I don't think they said S.W.O.R.D.
She said the full name, but each letter, the first letter, it spells S.W.O.R.D. Just like, what does S.H.I.E.L.D. stand for? I forget. Superhuman?
No, strategic, oh man. Well, the Agent Coulson says it all the time. I can't remember. Why am I drawing a blank?
Don't look
this
at me.
Like a whole, whatchamacallit, like a strategic homeland intervention enforcement and logistics division.
Right.
So their job is, though, stuff on Earth. And S.W.O.R.D. got introduced in the 90s. They deal with stuff on other planets.
Yes. Off Earth 616.
Right. So plot of this one, though, is there's this alien race that Ord comes from that have gotten this psychic preview that some super powerful mutant from the X-Men will come and destroy all the people on their planet. And they're about to go to war with Earth. And they come in preemptively. He's like, I'm just going to take out all the X-Men. I just take out all the X-Men. And if I get this cure for mutantdom. But I think what's cool about the comic is it's got great action, but it's sort of got that story like you talked about, Mark, of, again, it's like, is mutants like a disease that you should try to cure? And when that happens, it becomes very divisive even within the mutant community, because some mutants, like Beast, are like weird animal-looking things and can't live a normal human life. But there are ones like Wolverine, who literally, if he just took off his costume and didn't pop out his claws, could pass for a human being any day of the week.
Yep. Yeah, I like, and not to go back into the movies again, but I really like the line in there with Nightcrawler and Mystique And he's like, you can be anything. And Mystique normally is a blue-skinned freak. Like, she looks like a freak, as you guys know. And Nightcrawler asked her.
She still looks pretty good.
Yeah, well, she's like, yeah, I agree Stamos. With that. Yes. And Nightcrawler asks her, like, you can turn into anything. Why wouldn't you just always look normal? And she's like, this is who I am. I shouldn't have to be somebody different. And I love that point about the divisiveness of it's not a disease. It shouldn't be cured. But I understand why people would want to feel like they need to be cured, because you're getting ridiculed and you're getting isolated. And it's a tough, it's a great parallel. That's what I like about X-Men overall.
And I might be misremembering. I'm almost positive though. Mystique turns out to be Nightcrawler's mom, I believe.
I thought that was one of the story threads. I don't remember if that was... Was that actually a true in the comics you're talking about?
His father is like Azrael, some demon, which is where he gets his teleportation power. And his mother, I think, is Mystique, which is why he's blue and she's blue.
Yeah, you might be right. I don't remember that. It seems so obvious now, though.
Well, it took some writer 25 years to figure to make that up. Because I don't think that was part of the original story. But then somebody's like, hey, they're both blue. What if she was his mom?
Yeah, because she is unnaturally old.
Right.
Like that's kind of a secret power of hers. If she lasts a long time. So that's, you're probably right. Yeah, Joe, you're right.
For once.
Look at that. Mystique.
It happened.
Even a blind
Darkholm.
So Michael, awesome. what did you think of this? The book was actually pretty funny too, being written by Joss Whedon, kind of what you'd expect, but what did you think coming? Well, let me start with you, Mark. Sorry. I'm going to go back to Mark. Had you ever read this before?
I had not read it before.
What did you think of Joss Whedon's take on the X-Men?
You know, I actually thought it was okay, but I thought there was more he could have done with Emma Frost and that plot there. But overall, I thought it was all right compared to some of the other story threads that I've read of X-Men.
Okay.
We talked about the Marauders timeline, and I think that was also after this in the 90s. That's where I connect, because it was when I watched them. But I thought it was all right. I definitely, in a weird way, I know it's dated, but I like the giant size X-Men and how they introduced that. Not giant size babies, Michael, but actual.
I'm following now.
Except for Cyclops. He is a giant baby.
That's right. That's true. That's a good point. But that, you know, not to throw a wet blanket on it, but I just thought it was okay. Joss, and I love Joss Whedon, by the way. Yeah. You know, Buffy, Avengers, all that stuff. But I just think he needs more lighthearted content, and I actually I know what I'm getting with X-Men, which is a little more serious, a little more important issues, and I just didn't think he nailed it as well as other people have in the past.
All right, well, new to comics, Michael, or not new, you mean you know some about the X-Men, but you're not in deep with the X-Men. What do you think of this as a jumping on point for somebody who may be mildly interested in the X-Men to say, is this a good place for them to think about starting reading X-Men?
I don't know that it would be a good starting off point. I don't know that there was a lot
Should they read Secret Wars first and then?
Yes, read Secret Wars like 14 times and then go. I don't think this would be a good starting off point, but I actually really liked it. And I really loved the way that it was illustrated. Like, I thought it was very easy to flow through. I read all six chapters of it easily. And I knew enough from the movies and from Secret Wars and from reading the other comic that we read today that I was able to get through it, and just had some kind of little hinky points where I was like, who the heck are these people? But mostly it was really entertaining. So I think if you're a big fan, to your point, and you feel very invested in some of the storylines and the parallels and the backstories and things, maybe I can see how it would fall short. But for someone who was newer but new enough, it was really good for me.
So what were they?
I think entertaining, Michael, you're right. It's definitely that. Like, that's a Joss Whedon. He's really good at that. So I agree with you on all those points.
So coming to it, you said there were some hinky things you had questions about. What didn't you that you want maybe somebody to see if we can make something up that sounds real if we don't know the answer?
Well, no, I mean, just like the Emma Frost thing, I didn't have any of that backstory that we just talked about. So I was sort of like not putting together that. And, you know, Kitty and Emma had kind of a little bit of a headbutting moment And then they talk about Jean Grey in this comic, but you don't, if you didn't know who Jean Grey was and you didn't know that she and Scott had had any kind of love affair, that it was so abbreviated that you were like, wait, what, there's more there that I need. So I can see how someone would come into this one and be like, wait, there's something that I need more on.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's way more tension between Wolverine and Scott than I remember. I mean, they always kind of butted heads.
Doesn't Wolverine butt heads with everyone, though? Like, always, who does he get along with?
Kitty?
It's because, yeah, he gets along with Kitty, and that's pretty much it. And there's always that love triangle between Jean Grey, Wolverine, and Scott Summers.
Yep. I will say that the way that they illustrated Wolverine's body hair versus the Beast's body hair, the Beast had like beautiful flowing body hair. It was very lovely. And Wolverine's body hair was offensive. Like it was really gross.
His name is Wolverine. He's supposed to represent the dirty rodent.
I like a good hairy guy. Just like
I shouldn't speak about people from Michigan that way, but
he definitely needed some manscaping.
For sure. Yeah, somebody get that guy a can of Nair for Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it'll just grow back. His super healing powers.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Mark and I read Civil War where he literally got blown up into nothing but a smoldering skeleton in like 2 hours. He was back, hair and all. It was like he regenerated and was still bald.
I'm like, that's a good point, Joe. If he shaves, does it like just grow back instantaneously? Maybe it does.
But that, I don't think so, because like the part of your hair that's alive is the root, right?
But then why, like I said, in this comic book that Mark and I read, where he literally got all the flesh burnt off of his body down to a skeleton, and he regrew, his hair was back to normal. It wasn't like he came back bald and then like, oh, now I'm going to start growing out my do again.
Hair follicles grow in conjunction with the tissue.
I took us on a weird tangent with this assessment of the hair follicles of Wolverine.
This is the things you worry about. They'll talk about it in one of the upcoming movies.
These are the things I worry about. I mean, I don't know about you guys.
No, it's unstable molecules.
We're talking about like really in-depth things and like serious issues that this comic confronts. And then I'm like, but his hair.
Well, they do address these in the movies on occasion. Fans always used to talk about like how does Hulk grow so big and his pants stay on and then he shrinks back down and his pants stay on, and then in the one Hulk movie he talks about how he bought like extra stretchy pants. It's like it's tough to find these extra stretchy pants
that are in purple.
And then in the last movie, he comes down, he's just naked when they find Banner in that hole. He's like, got no clothes on down there. Fell from
in Ragnarok.
The helicarrier.
He has to use Stark's clothes.
Right. So anything else on this comic, Michael? I actually liked it a lot. And it ends on, so there is a big moment. Colossus back from beyond turns out. So Colossus had sacrificed himself in a previous comic to eliminate the legacy virus. It was a virus that was killing mutants, and Hank McCoy was like, we need to inject this into a person. Beast had come up with a cure, he's like, but we need to inject it into a mutant, and then that will start the chain reaction that everybody will get immunity to it, but that mutant will die, and without telling anybody, Colossus just grabbed it and injected it. So he died, and that's when they talk about the legacy virus in this, that he'd cured it, but it turns out that Ord had brought him back from either death or from near death, and had been keeping him imprisoned to experiment on him to come up with this new cure for mutantdom. And it seems like that had to be at least 5 years that he was locked up.
Yeah. That was a long time. Yeah. What I thought was cool that I didn't know, I thought Colossus was made of metal, and they explained in this comic that he's not made of metal. He's made of rage.
I think that was meant to be a metaphor.
Whatever. I liked it.
He is normally like a human dude, like you saw in Giant Size X-Men.
Yeah. Yeah, when he was attractive.
He can turn into organic steel.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like,
I like it.
It's like
his own version of unstable molecules, apparently.
Sometimes I feel like I'm made of rage, so I feel I really feel like Colossus, he redeemed himself a lot in this for me.
Okay, so Colossus is back for you. So I like that comic a lot. Let's, with the time we got left, let's Mark talk about some of our classic X-Men rankings. And I think Michael, you had some questions about X-Men. So Mark, you want to run down number 5 on your list? I don't know that I have mine in any particular order.
Do you want me to do my salty bottom five?
Sure. What we said is first? if they're going to put together this isn't necessarily strongest X-Men or toughest X-Men or X-Men that could win. And like earlier when we talked to Tim and we said, you're going up against Thanos, which five Avengers or three Avengers do you need to beat him? This is just, if I'm going to read a book for the next year that's going to feature these X-Men, what characters do I want in my book? So your bottom five,
so
Mark.
The opposite of that, were for me, in no particular order, were Cyclops.
100%. 100%. Although, you know what? He should be in the book on the fringes just to take the abuse.
Nope. Can't have him.
Terrible leadership skills.
Second one, even though he's pretty much gone now, but Sunfire. Pretty lame. Banshee.
What?
Who? Yep. Banshee?
Banshee.
Get out of here.
A fan. Not a fan. A fan of his hair, but not a fan of him.
Okay, fair.
Colossus, which I know he redeemed for you, but I it doesn't do anything for me.
Mark.
Come on now. And then five is Angel.
Angel?
Angel's just like a big seagull, right?
That's right.
That's what I got out of the right. Giant comic. Yep. He looked like just he had big white bird wings.
So to be more positive, Joe, the top five, we'll see how many of these cross with you. And again, in no particular order, I've got Nightcrawler.
So wait, should we just take Professor X as a given that he's got to be around?
So he does, but I didn't put him on the five because of that point.
We don't have to put him on the five. He's just there.
Yep. He's there. He's got to be there.
Is that because there is no X-Men without him? Why does
Even though there's no him in this particular book, like the whole thing is centered around the X-Men or something that he built and he put together. And so.
Yeah. Yeah, so I would agree
with that. He's the glue.
He's the glue, yes. He is the straw that stirs the drink, I suppose. but I have Nightcrawler on my five, Joe. Did you have Nightcrawler?
Is on my five. Kurt Wagner.
Yes.
And so Michael,
I'm from the Munich Circus.
He's very acrobatic, and he can teleport. Remember when Deadpool was bamfing around teleporting, and he had that little thing that looked like a tiny baby Nightcrawler?
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
and he's pretty agile, right? He's got that prehensile tail.
Prehensile tail.
Are you jealous, Mark? Do you want a prehensile
tail? Yes, I do want a prehensile tail. I'm very jealous.
He was in a great miniseries in the 80s where he's swashbuckling too. He's an expert at swordsman, and he could fight with three swords, one in each hand and one in his tail.
Ooh.
Yes. You can't beat that, Michael.
Okay, that's cool. That is cool.
And then the second one I have is Wolverine.
Wolverine's almost got to be. Just kind of almost. I would like to leave him off my list.
Yeah, it's like you can't even not like the guy. Like, he's such a badass. He's so mean to everybody. It's what you want to be sometimes. Like, everybody wants to be Wolverine every once in a while. Just hating everybody. And the fact that you can do a middle finger with one of your claws is like top five.
Does he do that in any of the movies or the comics?
Oh yeah.
I haven't seen that.
Never in the comics, because I think it's more, but in the movies, yes. Okay. And it's one of the great
He pops out the middle one to open beers with it.
Yeah. And sometimes he'll pop all three and then retract the two on the outside. Like, that's his way of doing the, you know.
And then if he really wants wants to be a badass, he's done this before. He puts his fist up under someone's chin and pops up.
Yes.
Like, don't make me pop out.
Yes. That's a great one, too. Was he on yours, Joe? Was that on yours?
I tried to find a way to leave him off because he's just so prevalent. He's just everywhere. And in the 80s, he was everywhere. But you just can't. You can't, because he is, like, even when the team is not fighting bad guys, he's kind of the one who creates drama and friction.
Yeah. And you're right. It's like, if you're talking about story or reading about him for a year, like, and all these, I think, are a ton of content, but him especially. And then the third one I have is Storm.
Storm's awesome.
So, because the whole background there, Michael, before she was worshipped as a goddess, she was a thief on the streets of Cairo. Like, she's a classic. Yeah, like, she's a classic rags to riches, like, literally a thief to a goddess.
The Queen of Wakanda.
To the Queen of Wakanda, to
she married Black
one
Panther.
Of my favorite.
Yes. Oh, she does? Yes. Oh, yes. Cool.
One
okay.
of my favorite leaders of the X-Men, by the way. Like, way over Cyclops.
So
Storm is awesome.
I was going to ask you this question when you put Cyclops in your bottom five. couldn't you read the issue where she fights Cyclops for the leadership of the X-Men like 12 months in a row and just be happy with that? Do you remember that one?
Yes, I do remember
that.
She
lost all of her powers. So first off, better Storm, long hair or mohawk?
Mohawk.
Mohawk Storm. And she loses all of her powers, but she still wants to be on the X-Men, and she wants to be the leader, and Cyclops is like, no, I'm the leader. And she's like, I challenge you to a duel in the Danger Room, and she beats him with no powers, and then she assumes leadership of the X-Men, because she's like, I'm the baddest ass even with no powers.
Yep. Mutant Thunderdome, and she wins.
What's this Danger Room?
The Danger Room.
Do you ever watch Star Trek? You ever watch the holodeck?
No.
Do you remember in Astonishing X-Men where they're in there and they're sitting there and all of a sudden it looks like Sentinels are crashing through and it turned out to be a big hole?
It's like a is it like a padded room? It's safe. You're not going to die in there.
No, you
with
can
a bunch
die
of holograms.
In there.
Oh, you can die. Okay.
It's Professor X built it and it's where they do all of their training and it's mostly holograms and robots and lasers and stuff now, but that's why Kitty's like, I remember when it was just rotating blades and fireballs. That was the best. But he would like literally put them in this death trap and go, here's your training, kids.
That's right. So Joe, we were 3 for 3 on the same one. I wonder if
Storm didn't make it onto mine though.
Oh, Storm didn't make it on yours. Okay, all right. And then 4 I have is Emma Frost.
Okay.
Because we talked about that. Former Hellfire Club. You know, she actually was an X-Men for a while. Actually led the X-Men as we know for a while. So, again, I like her. I think that's probably an unpopular one. And then 5 I have is Jean Grey. Like, not Phoenix, not Dark Phoenix, not Miss Marvel. Like, the classic, you know, trying to figure out her powers, Jean Grey. And that's my 5. What are your 3 that we didn't match on, it sounds like?
So, what we did match on was Nightcrawler, Wolverine.
Yep.
Right. I gotta have Kitty Pride on my X-Men.
That's a good
always
one.
Always gotta have Shadow Cat. She's awesome.
She's my 6-man award. She's on the bench, but she's right there.
She's got a cool power that's way underrated. She can just phase through things. She can walk through any wall or do like that scene in Astonishing X-Men where they've got all the hostages and just when people aren't looking, she's phasing them through the floor to rescue them. She's not. They talk about it. She's not a fighter. She's more defensive. But she was also a newer X-Men when I was growing up, and so she was kind of like the youngster that was kind of getting coached up a little bit. But I gotta have Kitty Pryde, and so now that I've got Wolverine and Kitty Pryde, I gotta have Colossus on my X-Men.
You do, yeah.
Because you get the romance between the two of them, which I love. I love that romance, even though Cyclops is such a whiny baby about it in Secret Wars. They did have a good romance when they were going, but also. Without Colossus, you got no fastball special with Wolverine. You got to have the fastball special.
What does this mean?
So Wolverine, as you know, his bones are coated in adamantium, as you know.
I thought they were just made up of adamantium and adamantium entirely.
No, the Canadians actually put that on him because they know it would fuse to his body because of his healing factor.
Okay.
So think of a ball of adamantium. When you like a cannonball, and if somebody could throw you really fast at something, that's fastball special. So Colossus, he'd say fastball special. He would grab because he's kind of short,
and then he throws him.
Throws him.
This happened in the okay. Yes, this happened.
Like,
I saw
they didn't
this.
Say it. And it
they
was
didn't
like
call
for the
it
nerd.
That.
He goes. I got 2 words. And then he doesn't say the words. He just picks up Wolverine and throws him at that spaceship.
I was wondering
head,
where
like,
the words
special.
Were. Okay. Yeah. I'm putting it together.
Like when the stuff goes down, Wolverine's only like 5'3", 5'4", and Colossus is like 6'5".
Did you say 5? Wolverine's my height?
Yeah.
He's like 5'2", 5'1".
He's tiny.
What? Yeah. Yeah.
I'll look it up. I'll look up
like
official
everybody,
height.
This seems strange.
Everybody puts him differently, but he's like, barely 5 feet. I'm gonna say 5'1", Joe.
Guys, okay. He went from being my height to barely 5 feet. There's a big difference, okay?
According to
5'3".
I wonder if I can find it on Marvel. Marvel Directory. MarvelDirectory.com lists his height as 5'3", weight without adamantium skeleton, 200 pounds, with adamantium skeleton, 300 pounds.
That's huge.
I like how they tell you with or without.
it's like Fletch.
What's the answer? 5'3", Michael, right? Did you think he was that short?
No, that's not. I don't like it. I don't like it.
So you just got him winging him around at stuff.
I mean, I do like that, but I don't
know. Who else do you have then, Joe? So that's a good list. Was that four?
I think I got to put Beast on it.
Yeah,
McCoy.
Hank McCoy. I mean,
he's an interesting dude. And I don't know. I kind of wish I could have fit Dazzler in there somehow.
Yes.
Dazzler kind of made it back. Well, but also putting Kitty on your team and in your book means you get Lockheed too.
So they just come as a pair.
Yes, she's his pet dragon.
He's just familiar or whatever.
No, I know.
That's good.
So I think this is a decent segue to one of the questions I was going to ask you guys, but we might have already covered it within your top fives. But I was thinking we should play Kiss, Marry, Kill with the X-Men.
Okay. Got it. Yep.
Joe's like, oh, my mind.
So, I mean, Kiss for me is Storm, and it's not even close.
Like, that's definitely hands down Storm.
Yeah. Okay. Like, not even I don't even know who I can think of behind that. I'm sure Joe would say Kitty Pryde, but
I know. I'm thinking Jean Grey. I might be even Dark Phoenix on that one.
That's right. So anyway, another layer peels back the Joe onion. But Mary is for me would be Kitty Pryde.
100%.
Yeah.
Kitty Pryde was. I must have read the Kitty Pryde and Wolverine miniseries 100 times when I was a kid, and that's the other reason you got to. I like having Kitty on the team. Is she's the only one who can get along with Wolverine, and she's the one that can kind of put him in his place. Even in the book we just read, where they're like nobody gets along with Wolverine. Wolverine said something to her, and he's like, yeah, but you'd go all ninja on me, and I just wind up paying for that for weeks.
Because she's one of the only true good people on the team, and Wolverine appreciates that.
And
like,
she did train
she's
as a
pure
ninja.
Good person. Yeah, yeah, but yeah, I would. So Mary for me, and it's not even close.
Right,
would be Kitty Pryde, and then Kill would not even be close. It's Cyclops.
Do you concur, Joe?
I kind of like having Cyclops around, kind of as like the kicking, you know, just to have him around it.
So you're gonna say Angel?
I would say. I don't know if I can say this. Every other relative of Scott Summers. There's a lot of them.
That's a good answer.
You get Havoc. You get his other brother that pops up later. I guess you lose Cable that way, though.
You can't.
Cable is Scott Summers' son from the future. Scott Summers and Jean Grey's son is Cable.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay. Yep. I know who that is. Yep. Yeah. Josh Brolin. Yes.
Yeah. Not the Thanos. Josh Brolin.
So Joe, who would you actually pick then? Seriously, you can't pick.
I feel like I shouldn't have let you guys duplicate.
Oh man, God, I'm looking at this list.
But it was so obvious to us. Like that's the thing. Like I don't know who else it would be besides Storm and Kitty Pryde.
Who did I put on my list last?
He said Jean Grey for Kiss, so we were different on Kiss technically.
Okay.
I don't know who would I do without. It's probably Scott Summers. I don't.
That's what I'm saying, Joe. Come on.
Maybe Banshee. Maybe Thunderbird.
All right. All right,
but wait, I got more
questions.
One X-Man I forgot. I have my notes over here that I was debating. Who was the last person I told you that I put on my list?
You mean on the top Beast. Five list?
Beast. If I couldn't get Beast on the team, it was a tough choice for me between Beast and Rogue.
Yeah.
I like Rogue, too.
Yeah. That'd be the forbidden fruit right there, so maybe Kiss would be Rogue.
Yeah.
I think I know who Rogue is.
She's Anna
Paquin. She absorbs powers. Yeah, okay. Paquin. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yep. Okay.
And every time she tries to kiss a boy, she almost kills him.
Oh, yeah. Joe! I know who to do for Kill. Iceman. Get out of here, Bobby.
You're right, Mark. It's like sort of you don't want it to be the no-brainer of Cyclops, but it just kind of is. It's just in the way all the time. Get out of here, dude.
He tries too hard to be the leader. That's the problem I have with it. You're just trying too hard.
He's always, Professor X said. He's like the class kiss-up. He's like the grade girl.
Michael, he's like the really good worker that gets promoted to a manager, and he just shouldn't have been promoted.
Like, he's Peter's principal incarnate.
Yes, exactly.
Sucks to be a manager.
So what about you, Michael? Out of the X-Men, you know.
I don't know. I don't know them enough yet. I don't want to pick before I know more. So I'm going to opt out of answering until
I feel like you got a little thing with Colossus going on.
Colossus is the kiss now.
I was a fan of Colossus, but honestly, from the movies, they only pick basically hot people to play everyone. So I'd probably kiss all those people.
Yeah.
What about Magneto? Would you pull a Wasp?
I would definitely pull a Wasp with Magneto.
Pull a Wasp.
If it's a Secret Wars Magneto with that hair making me martinis. Yes.
100%. Steely blue eyes.
Steely blue eyes.
Well, so what I want to know is, who is your favorite lesser known X-Men? Like somebody that I feel like there's a lot more than just the 13 or so that I've been introduced to. So who is one that you remember or liked or didn't like?
I think I mentioned it earlier. Dazzler.
Dazzler.
Dazzler was invented in the era of disco, and she can turn sound into light. So literally, she roller skates places and turns sound into light. But she's really powerful. Like, they're light blasts. But there's this great series. I grew up on these Marvel miniseries in the 80s, and there's one that's called Beauty and the Beast, and it's like a romance between her and the Beast, where he's like all blue and furry, and she's Dazzler, and they're like solving crimes, kicking ass, but they got a little romance going on. And I thought that was pretty cool. So Dazzler's somebody that I feel like she appeared in the 90s, the cartoon series. So but I don't think many people know about Dazzler.
For me, it's Psylocke.
Psylocke? What's Psylocke?
She has telepathic abilities. You know, Elizabeth, Betsy Braddock. I think she's Captain Britain's daughter. Yeah, is that right, Joe? Right. I always thought she was really cool. And again, like Joe said, when I read X-Men in the 90s, I always just was pretty fascinated with her. And she didn't get, like with the Dazzler, she just never became an A-list. She was always like a B or C-list character. But to answer your question, it'd be Psylocke.
What about Gambit?
Yeah, but I feel like he's kind of elevated to A-list status.
He hasn't been in a movie, so I don't think a lot of people.
He was in a movie.
Which one was he in?
Yeah, he was in one of the X-Men movies. I'm trying to think of.
I must have missed it.
Remy Lambeau.
What about Bishop?
Bishop.
So,
yeah.
How many X-Men are there?
287.
Hundreds. Oh wow, we could be here all day.
I don't know if that's the right number.
I don't know if it is either. And there's like X-Force. There's X-Club.
So there's like all these tangents. Okay.
Yes. All right. Great Lakes Avengers.
Some people like became X-Men like in weird, like who were just other people. Like Cloak and Dagger were X-Men at one point, but I don't count them as X-Men because they were other heroes first. And like some of the members of Alpha Flight joined X-Men for a while, but they're just still Alpha Flight characters. They weren't like specifically recruited by Charles Xavier to be an X-Man.
Yeah, I took her question, Michael, I took your question as like an actual uncanny X-Men teammate at some point. So that's right.
Yeah, I don't think that I know enough to actually have honed that question that specifically, but I'm okay with how you took it. So
would you count Firestar, Mark? She was in the X-Men.
Yeah, I'd count her. Yeah, she's great. I would say she's a good B list that never got her due.
She's in Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends.
Mm-hmm. That's why. Yeah, that's great. Firestar.
Right, Iceman. Okay. What was the name? Ms. Lion. A little annoying.
All right. Here's my last question.
Yeah.
What would be the, of all the powers you've seen an X-Men have, what would be, in your mind, the worst power to have?
This is a real easy answer, but then I'll think about it. But right off the top of my head, it's Rogues.
Because if you make out with someone, they die.
Yeah. Well, and you actually absorb part of their, like, psyche too, so she has a little bit
like haunted by
them. That'd be pretty messed up. So not only do you get their powers, you get their kind of traits and their characteristics and their mannerisms seep into you.
All of your ex boyfriend's horrible traits stay with you forever.
That is exactly my point. That'd be a horrible thing to have.
Yeah,
not
I agree
to
with
the fact
you.
That you can't touch anybody, but to me, that's
that kind of sucks.
Yeah, but that's an obvious one. I think, you know, another reason why I kind of pity Cyclops, like that's a sucky one to have.
Yeah. Angel, kind of. I mean, flying would be cool, but he's got like two giant ass bird wings on his back.
That's right.
Do they tuck under his trench coat like Nicolas Cage in City of Angels? Because that's not that bad. Down.
Or like John Travolta in Phenomenon. Yeah. No, John Travolta
in Michael. In Michael.
Michael. There
you go. But he can't. They don't tuck down to a point where he can hide them.
And yeah.
That's not that bad.
I don't know.
Out of all their powers, you think that one would be the worst? Well, come on. I said the worst.
I guess Cyclops and Rogue.
I think for me are the top worst ones. With Rogue being number one.
I think you're right. Those are hard.
Yeah.
I think you are too.
I think that'd be number one for me.
You can think about it, Joe. I need a better answer than Angel.
Joe failed. Joe, if this is our test, you failed.
That's a C-.
What about Maggot?
C-.
That was an actual character. He could just
Maggot?
He could eat anything. No, it wouldn't be a hard power. It's just a lame power.
You know, not an X-Men, Michael, but I feel for the Blob.
Oh, yeah, that would be no good.
He's always fat, but he's super powerful and strong. Yeah, and
more of those villains.
Kind of invulnerable, but right. He just looks like a fat ass.
Same thing with yeah. Toad. Toad's like a gross-looking dude, and he just has a long tongue.
Ooh. Yeah, like Toad would be not good either. He eats flies.
What about a cool power, though? Like, what about... what's his name? X Factor, the head, multiple man, where he can divide up into like 20 yep. different versions of himself.
Yep. But for me, it's Nightcrawler with his tail, as Michael already alluded to, and his ability to teleport. Like, that's the lazy man or lazy person's ultimate dream, is to have the ability to teleport, I think. It's way better than flying. Just boom, and you're there.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. Like
all right.
What's your favorite one, Joe?
Favorite power
that you'd want? For X-Men, Toad.
Doesn't everybody just kind of want to be Wolverine?
Yes. No, I want to be his personality, but I don't know that I want that power. Doesn't he want to die half the time? Like, he's like, this sucks. I just want to die, and he can't
die.
I'd
like to have the power without all of the torture.
He's like Tuck Everlasting. X-23. That's miserable.
That's right.
I mean, if you get the powers without having to go through all the torture that he went through, and not have to. And you just be like, hey.
Well, you don't get to pick and choose.
What if you get all of it or nothing? Okay, well, if you get the power, like let's say I pick Cyclops, right? Do I have to like work out and eat right, or do I just get to be that big and buff and strong and live the way I live now?
Be that big and buff and strong. I've never seen him working out in any of the movies or the comics that I've read, all two of them.
You can tell the artists that don't like him make him a skinny little runt with a concussion blast face. But then other artists make him like Joe, like said, like he's working out. He's like Olympic class, like strong. And you're like, oh, well, that guy actually likes Cyclops. And then the skinny run guy, they don't like him that much.
Yeah. All right. Well, good questions, Michael. Good to catch up on the X-Men, Mark. I think this was a lot of fun. How's your fantasy football team coming?
Meanwhile, back in the secret Casual Comics Command Center, Jeff monitors the proceedings. Wait, what? Nice way to end the show professionally. Well, this is what happens when I let him record in the middle of the day without me. Well, let's see what I can do here. Ready music, and here goes nothing. Thank you all, and cheers! Please support our friends at Platform Brewing in Columbus, Ohio. And if you enjoy the show, please rate us and leave a few kind words wherever you listen to the podcast. You can also reach us on Twitter at Casual Comics Guy and online at CasualComicsGuy.com. See you next time.